Raised by Soundfest is coming Saturday, December 7th. Go to raisedbysoundfest.com for more information.
WYXR 91.7 FM, Memphis, Tennessee, the station with the city soul that's Raised by Sound, the home of Raised by Sound Fest. Counting down to Raised by Sound. Counting down to, hold on, wait, let's not jump ahead, all right? Counting down to Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving to everyone out there. We're thankful for you. We're grateful for you. I had someone one time say, maybe sometimes grateful is better. I can agree with that. Jared J.B. Boyd here on Talking Memphis. As we have in the last few weeks, we were talking tonight about the Crosstown Arts Residency, and as is customary when I'm in the building, I like to let my guests introduce themselves. Go ahead.
Hello, I am Dodor Sweetly. I'm a musician. I'm from here in Memphis. I play and sing in with, you know, my own music, and then I also play drums for a band here in town called General Labor. And I'm a part of a duo called Great Fortune, and a bunch of different kinds of stuff. But yeah.
Well, let me break that down, because you've got many monikers.
Yes.
And this backstory that you just gave, you're from here. That's new to me, because you were introduced to me in a very fantastical way. It was like, you know, that comic book swamp thing. It was like that. I mean, it was.
Oh yeah.
It took me on a journey. So tell me, break down the lore for me.
So yeah, the lore. I am a creature from the muddy banks of the Mississippi. That's the general lore, and that I've been here for a long time, and you know. I'm a Memphis musical creature, is the general vibe.
All right, I just wanted to make sure, because the many names, many stories, and you know, I'll be the first to tell you, I lack a little bit of an imagination. So I'm glad that I'm up to speed now. Tell me, Elijah, what's your experience been like with? Well, first of all, let's go even further back. What made you choose to be or to apply for the Crosstown Arts Residency?
Oh man, I had been around. I used to work up in the high school upstairs. I was an assistant teacher helper up
really?
There. Yeah, and I've got friends. I've been here my whole life, and I've seen, you know, saw Crosstown get finished, and I had just been applying for the artist residency the last few years. Because I saw it and I was like, I being able to have the space and time to make music would be incredible. And my biggest issue was finding a space.
Yeah.
Me and my wife, our apartment, it's not very conducive to recording music, especially not, you know, making a bunch of noise. We got people above us. We got people on either side of us. And so my biggest thing was like, oh, if I could have a space, and now I've got a house to make music in, and it's incredible.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. So you're in the house, not in the studio spaces upstairs.
Yeah, I'm in grandma's house.
Absolutely. So tell me, I'll say for those who haven't seen it, I haven't seen it. Walk me through what that experience is like when you walk in. Is it a sensory experience?
Yeah. So it is. It's a super cool house. They've both of them. There's grandma's house, and then there's grandpa's house right next door. And grandma's house is mostly blue. It's blue on the outside, and on the inside there's like blue colors, and everything is like cat. There's like a bunch of cat decorations, a bunch of like mid-century decoration stuff. And there's a it's like a one bedroom house, and then there's a super cute little kitchen, and then a studio room that's got locks on it. And you know, when I came in, there was a little monitor, and then some studio monitors set up, and I was like, can I bring my stuff in? And Joanna was like, yeah, you can bring your stuff in. So I brought like all my monitors, my computer, my drums, and my amps, and my microphones, and set up shop, and been having some friends come over and play and mix stuff. And you spoke with Lissette last week, I think.
Yeah.
So yeah, me and Lissette got together a few days ago, and messed around with some stuff. It's awesome. It's a gorgeous little house. It is amazing to be able to make as much noise as I want and not worry about anybody else hearing me squawk in the other room.
Well, I was going to ask, you know, because I fancy myself a little bit of a budding gearhead. What's your laboratory? I mean, what do you incorporate in your magic that you make when you get in the zone?
Okay, yeah. So I actually, for my own music, I play this 8-string. It's a Charlie Hunter style. You know Charlie Hunter?
Not familiar.
So it's this crazy instrument. There's 3 bass strings and 5 guitar strings. They go out to 2 separate amplifiers. And that's primarily what I'm writing with. Mm-hmm. When I'm not playing any other, if I'm playing drums, I've got drums. But recording wise, I brought in I've got an 8-Pre-X. It's a Focusrite interface, and I've got I've got like a 1176 compressor clone and a bus compressor clone and a whole bunch of microphones, like some Warm Audio stuff and some Neumann stuff.
Yeah. Tell me about your beginnings. How did you begin to develop a musical repertoire?
Well,
repertoire is a big word. I mean, depending on what age you were, you may not have been a repertoire. Just
at the time. My mom's roommate in college, Flo Tudor is her name. She actually teaches art over and photography, I think, over at Bartlett High School now. But at the time, she was my mom's roommate, and they were in college, and she was a metal drummer, and she had all of her drums like in cases on the other side of the room. And I was 6, you know, and I was like, I want to play your drums. Can you set your drums up? And she at some point sat me down and said, okay, look, here's some sticks. So she said, I'm not going to set up the drums yet. Here's some sticks. And then here's some phone books. She set up phone books, like one in front of me, one on my left. And she said, this is your hi-hat and this is your snare right here. And if you can keep a beat on that, then I'll set up the drums for you. You know, but she was like, you got to keep a steady beat. And I think at the time she was like, well, you know, that's going to keep him busy. He'll be like, oh, this is really hard, and then give up. She showed me how to do, you know, just a regular backbeat. And, I think like maybe 20, 30 minutes later, I came back and I was like, all right, here it is. Now you got to set up your drums. Yeah. Then she set up her drums, and that was that. I played her drums until my mom finally got me a drum set. And then when I was 12, my great aunt on the other side of the family gave me an old guitar of who that was like my great great grandmother's guitar. She was like, "Do you want this?" And I said, "Yeah, sure. I'm more of a drummer, but I'll try it out." And then realized that I also like playing guitar. So then I played guitar there, and then ended up picking up the bass, and then really just like spent every day, all day, for I don't even know, 2 or 3 summers, just sitting there on the computer looking up how to play different songs on the guitar, looking up ultimateguitar.com, looking up tabs, and slowly drums faded into the background, but every time that they would go further away, I would end up playing drums. Like I went to school in New Orleans. I ended up playing drums for a band there, and then got a degree in guitar and came back here and ended up playing drums for General Labor. So
sweet.
Yeah.
Well, we got some of your music loaded up. We're gonna kick it off with, gosh, my eyesight's getting worse.
Oh, you're good.
Peace is Moon.
You're good.
Camaraderie unseen. be one of them too.
There it is. Pisces moon. Sorry, y'all. I can't see, man. I gotta go to the eye doctor upstairs. I got an eye doctor upstairs. It's a great thing. Another great thing about being at the Crosstown Concourse. Pisces moon, tell me about that track.
Yeah, that one, I think I started writing that in 2020, maybe. Mm-hmm. It started out as more of like a surfy song. Totally different. Didn't have the 8-string at the time. And then recorded a couple versions and then didn't really like it. And then I ended up coming back to it late last year and basically just gutted it. I cut the entire second half of the song out. There was this big time change and then this big loud driving electric guitar sound. Mm-hmm. I cut that whole section out of it and basically just started it from the beginning. And I was like, well, I have the 8-string, and I put that little groove down and I was like, okay, that works. And then I just did the first thing that came to mind and then sang the first thing that came to mind. And I was like, okay, uh-huh. That works. And then it was done. But, you know, I feel like sometimes I'll have ideas that keep coming back. But I'm never all the way ready to put them out.
Sure.
You know, and that one, I had it for like almost 3 years that I was just goofing around with different versions of it. And then I was like, I need to put this out. And then that chorus came and that was it.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's awesome. Well, if you just tune in, we're with Elijah, also known as Dota Sweetly, also a member of multiple ensembles. I mean, you do your own solo music. Tell me, how do you end up collaborating with others?
Yeah, I moved back here and I was doing my stuff and I was playing in a handful of different bands. And over the pandemic, I think it was like right at the tail end of the pandemic, I got introduced to Corbin Line Barrier, who sings for General Labor. And at the time, he was looking for a synth player, but then also was maybe looking for a drummer. And I said, oh, well, I can bring some synths over, but I'm, you know, I also bring some of my drum stuff over. Mm-hmm. And he was like, yeah, you can bring some drum stuff and synth stuff, whatever. And I was really just gunning for to play drums in that band because I listened to the music and I was like, oh, I could really dig in on this. And I ended up playing some drums and he was like, okay, cool, let's do that. And then the other band I'm in, Great Fortune, that is a band with my friend Mitch Mueller, who is a vocal harmony electronic beat wizard. And I played a little bit in his old band Small, and we ended up, you know, pandemic kind of slowed everything down, and I said, hey, what if we just made some stuff together? And he was like, okay, yeah, cool. And so we started sending things back and forth and then got together and started making music. We've only released one song, but we've got most of an album ready.
Awesome.
Or at least mostly tracked. Yeah. That I'm just mixing through.
Cool. Well, it's like Chekhov's gun, man. If you talk about it, you got to pull it. So yeah. Here's a little twofer.
We'll be right back. Stress tied to Jade, and how we both felt betrayed. It's for the best.
WYXR 91.7 FM. I have to apologize because I'm breaking my own rule. I always say we have the best conversations on air so everyone can hear, but we've been in here chatting up a storm. That's me. That's on me. Well, this is a phenomenal experience that I've been hearing some incredible music.
Thank you. And
I've been hearing about the great work that you've been doing, and I'm glad that we get to experience it together. We're on Talking Memphis. I got Elijah.
Yeah.
AKA Dota Sweetly. Of both General Labor and Great Fortune. My eyes aren't defying me anymore. I blinked enough times and put my oil where I needed my oil to go, and now the machine's working again. Great news is that I think Ja Morant's playing tonight, and I think I just saw it pop up on my screen, so he's back. So
nice.
If you're listening to Talking Memphis right now with JB and Elijah, and watching the Grizzlies game, then you probably haven't. You're just in bliss. You just lean back and reach nirvana. Absolutely. So tell people about the music we just heard.
Yeah. So that first one was Asylum. That is off of an album that I finished. I'll backtrack. We did finish it while I was here. So that's the biggest thing. That's the first thing that came out of my residency. We finished that record. It's a general labor record, so I'm playing drums on that one, and we recorded that last January or February, I think February, but we just set up a whole bunch of microphones in our rehearsal space, and we just played through our set a handful of times, and I don't know why I did it, but we didn't use a click. We didn't do any of the stuff you're supposed to do, and because of that, it took me a very long time to mix. But I'm really proud of that record, and we just put that out on Halloween.
Awesome.
Yeah, and the other one, Interphase, that one me and Mitch recorded a while back. But me and Mitch would hang out. He would come over and he'd bring me some ideas, and then we would track a whole bunch of vocals, and then we would go, oh, maybe there should be a guitar here, maybe there should be a little drum thing over here. In that one, that like what we were talking about is that Purdy Shuffle thing that I did on that bridge part of that song Interphase. I was really proud of. But Mitch is just really, really, really good at FL Studio, and he'll be like, hey, here's a little idea I was messing with, and he's like chopped everything up and just makes it sound perfect. And then he's like, well, you're the mix guy, and I just have to compress stuff and put some, you know, high pass filters on stuff. And I'm like, okay, well, that's your mix is pretty much good.
Yeah. There's a lot of different parts to that. I mean, I was admiring that texture that sort of has that funk, that Memphis 90s underground hip hop tape.
Yeah,
kind of texture. And then as you mentioned, that Purdy Shuffle, Bernard Purdy, sort of inspired thing that, you know, still has a pop feel, and but then it's kind of lays back in the mix, and it's got sort of a I was in marching band, so I had that that cadence in my background that, you know, so leading. I was actually like the drumline captain.
Oh, I didn't know.
Yeah, absolutely. So I, you know, I can lead a cadence if I need to. If something breaks out and I just have to just
jump in there
and march some people in the battle, then, you know, I could do that. But also the ending there, where it almost felt like a choir had come alive, but it, all the voices were still kind of homogenous in a way that was interesting and
thank you
baritone and very beautiful and clean. But you mentioned the term, you mentioned Charlie XCX and you mentioned Brat and you mentioned hyperpop. These are all things that go way above my head. Is this considered hyperpop? Is that what I just heard?
I don't know if that would be considered hyperpop. I think that there's definitely stuff that that Mitch does that is absolutely hyperpop. I think for him, a lot of the time, you know, my music will lean further and further into the songwriter area, and then his music will lean further and further into the electronic, you know, wild electronic stuff kind of area. And so for us, we meet in the middle. So he'll be full on hyperpop, and then he'll kind of meet me over here in my songwriter world. I'll be more songwritery and then meet him there. And that's what Great Fortune stuff really is.
I mean, how do you build a craft as a songwriter? I mean, it seems like it takes an incredible amount of trust to be decisive, to be able to say, hey, this is the direction I'm going to go with this stanza, with this entire song.
Yeah, I have had such a hard time with it. I think that everybody who writes songs does. I think once you know, the first like 30 or 40 songs that you make, you're just like on a roll because you're like, oh yeah, I know how this works now. I know what structure means, and I understand that I can like go back to a chorus and that's my hook or whatever. What I have gotten to at this point is I've let go of trying to fit things into a structure that's specific unless I feel like it needs to come back around, and it's been more of like an exercise in just trusting myself. If words don't feel right, then I change them. If words feel fine, but I don't think they're like the deepest words in the world, I am letting myself let go of that more, because in the future what ends up happening is I go, oh, actually that's exactly what it needed to be. Because I think if you try to make everything into a big flowery poem, or you try to, you know, really really deeply figure out how to make these lyrics be this perfect thing, you can kind of drive yourself nuts and lose sight of it.
So you mentioned just off air a bit, some of your background. One, you're an educator now, but also how important education was to you, seminal to you being able to figure out what you wanted to do as an engineer, as an artist. So tell me a bit about what that was like.
Yeah, I was really lucky. When I was younger, growing up, I had Brian Vernon and the Smith Seven folks, were the community that were there to support, you know, teenagers making music. And Brian like would open up his house and he would let people play these punk shows, and it was like we as teenagers living in the suburbs, without access to any of the cool venues down here, had a place to play, and had a place to play that, you know, where there weren't a bunch of people drinking and smoking, and it was really about the music. And from there, I ended up going to New Orleans and studied pop music, which at the time, I think I decided, I went to school for a year in Seattle, and I was a pre-major. And I had a long conversation with my dad before I left, and he was like, look, don't do it. Don't do music. but I was like, okay, I won't do music. I'll go to Seattle undecided. I went to Seattle undecided. And at the end of a year there, I was like, okay, they don't have a great music program. I kind of want to do music, but I could if I'm, yeah, but they don't have a good music program. So I'm going to either do psychology or filmmaking or philosophy. Those were my other degrees, and I looked at all those other degrees and I was like, well, I should probably just study music. If I'm going to get a degree that's, you know, I'm not going to be an engineer, like a building engineer. And I'm not going to be a doctor, so I should just go study music. And then I transferred to New Orleans, and that was that. That was huge. That program was amazing. They had such cool people there. John Snyder was there still at the time, and Billy O'Connell and Jim McCormick was teaching songwriting, and Chris Finney taught rec tech stuff, and Jay Crudy was there teaching rec tech stuff. I never took a class from him, but that class with Chris Finney was huge.
Yeah.
Learning how to wrap a cable correctly.
Yeah.
Blew my mind.
And you teach now.
Yeah. And I came back here, and over the pandemic, I ended up teaching at Visible Music College. I did a bunch of music theory stuff for them. And then ended up saying, okay, well, I want to teach more college stuff, but I don't have a master's degree. So I got an online master's degree in music tech, mm-hmm. and then studio and game audio. And then ended up emailing Dr. Sanders at the U of M. And I said, hey, I was listening to a podcast and he was on it. And I was like, hey, I think I can help your program out. And we kept in contact over the next year and a half or so. And then he was like, hey, are you interested in any music tech classes? And I said, absolutely. So now I teach music tech and digital audio workstations at the U of M.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I might need to take your class, man.
No. You know what's going on. You know how to work the board. Well, I gotta say, hey, here, look, there's a preamp.
Yeah.
Here's a microphone.
Yeah, I hear that. Well, that's exciting, and we're always excited to draw more connections to the University of Memphis, one of our founding partners. Also, hey, handle some business today in Hawaii, right? They played some basketball. Beat UConn earlier.
I didn't see that.
Yeah. Handling some business. So we got some more music coming up. How about Baby Boy?
All right. Silent, immortal, unknown.
Back on Talking Memphis, we've been talking y'all. I feel like this should be an extended podcast of some sort. You mentioned the Smith 7, Julian Baker. I'd heard her mention that when she was here in the studio last.
Yeah,
that she came out of that collective of artists as well.
Yeah, Julian, I think she's maybe a year younger than me, I can't remember, but I think I played maybe an open mic or something at Otherlands way back when James, I think, was booking up there. I can't remember.
I've not been in the Otherlands crowd.
But then we played shows with her band, the Starkillers. At the time, I was playing guitar in a band called Hits the Fan. It was like this punk, you know, full-on punk band. And, I remember seeing Starkillers and being like, this is the band. This is my favorite band in the city, and I would try to see him as much as I could.
Wow.
Now, and then I ended up working with Calvin Lauber, who does her records. He just moved to Nashville. So I worked with him a little bit last year and the year before in Memphis Magnetic.
Mm.
And then he was like, hey, I'm heading to Nashville. And I said, okay. And now I think they're on tour in Europe. I think they're finishing up a European tour right now. He was taking me through their, like, how they do their live set on Ableton.
Oh, is he doing like a playback engineer?
He's doing that and playing bass.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, and it's the same drummer she had when they were playing the Seven House. It's Matt.
Wow.
And they're the best people.
Well, yeah. One thing that you've casually sort of dropped on us is just how busy you are. You've got your hands in a lot of pots. This is coming from somebody that's got their hand in a lot of pots.
Yeah.
You've got also a connection to a pretty prominent visual art institution here in Memphis too, right?
Yeah. So I also run the Jack Robinson Gallery.
Yeah.
So we're doing prints and weddings and birthday parties and giving people tours and all that kind of stuff. I've got a print sale going on right now. If you want to come to the gallery and get some prints of all of the people from the 60s, come down. I'll be down there Wednesday and Friday.
How'd you get involved with that?
My wife started out doing social media for them.
Mm-hmm.
And then over time, she worked her way up and ended up booking events and kind of doing what I'm doing now. And then I told her that she should apply to another job at the U of M. And she was like, okay, I'll try it out. And she ended up getting that job. And I'd been helping her in the meantime, because at the time I was working at French Truck roasting coffee and teaching one class at the U of M. And then making music.
Yeah.
And
being busy.
Yeah. And she got that job at the U of M, and she's like, what am I going to do? And I was like, well, I've been helping you, you know, organize the prints, and I know how booking works, and I could try. And she said, okay. Then so the owners ended up
wait
being
a minute,
okay
hold,
with that.
Hold on, wait.
Yeah.
You encouraged her to get another job. Then you slipped on in there and got the job she had.
Well, I had applied and interviewed at a bunch of different places here in town, and I secretly wanted to be able to hang out at the gallery and clean up pictures of Tina Turner.
Yeah,
yeah. Well,
it seems like it worked
It is a cool gig.
For sure.
For sure.
Well, tell me about Jack Robinson and that legacy, because I don't know a ton about it.
Yeah, so he was a photographer, and he was born, but he was from Clarksdale. Mm-hmm. He ended up going to Tulane to study, I can't remember what he even majored in. I don't think it was photography. But he ended up moving up to New York, where he became a fashion photographer for Vogue after being a photographer that did like products, you know, like they send him 500 pairs of shoes. He takes 500 pairs of shoes. But he ended up being a fashion photographer for Vogue. And then he shot for a particular part of that magazine that were, you know, up and coming people in the, you know, art and entertainment scene. So pictures of, you know, young pictures of Tina Turner, Tony Williams, Joni Mitchell, Jack Nicholson, Elton John, all the, like, Herbie Hancock, like everybody you could imagine from the 60s who was on, you know, in the movies, who was a famous musician or who was a famous model, he took pictures of.
Yeah.
And he ended up kind of falling on hard times, and then his parents got sick and he moved back to Memphis in the 70s, and that's where he met Dan Oppenheimer, who owns the gallery. And at the time he owned a stained glass shop on Union. Mm-hmm. And Jack came in and said, hey, I want to I can do some stained glass work and I'm an artist. And Dan said, okay, well, we'll see. And they ended up working together and doing stained glass all over the city and did stuff for St. Jude, and that was called Rainbow Studios Stained Glass. And never ever talked about New York, never talked about all these people he met, and Dan didn't know. And when Jack passed away really suddenly in 97 and left his estate to Dan.
Wow.
And Dan went to his apartment to start cleaning it out and found a room with thousands and thousands of photo negatives and learned that Jack had this whole life that that he had never talked about in New York, where he took all these pictures. And apparently when he would get drunk and say, oh, I talked to Cybill Shepherd last weekend on the phone, or I got Gloria Vanderbilt's Christmas card, he wasn't lying about it.
Wow.
And so from there, Dan basically changed his business names to Robinson and dedicated the rest of his life to letting people know about Jack's work.
So what's a typical day for you like there?
Oh man. Usually I have to go in and I will check a bunch of emails and have to handle some contracts and give somebody a tour, and then I might be cleaning up a picture for to go on to Getty Images, or I might be working on a print order that came in from the shop, or I'm handling like a print job. We've also got large format printers there, and we used to be mainly a commercial art business. Mm. Sometimes we still do some of that. So I got an email a little bit ago. So tomorrow I'm going to be handling a big print order for a casino in Carson City, Nevada.
Hmm.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
That's a typical day. Like, I mean, some days I'm focusing on writing blog posts or making our systems better, and other days I'm able to really clean up some of those old prints, some of those Jack Robinson scans that we have.
So you've got a wide array of skills.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're infinitely employable.
Well, I appreciate it. Yeah. I'm good at figuring out how something works when I get in there. Yeah. I didn't know much about Photoshop 2 years ago, and now I know a whole lot about Photoshop.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Well, there's a song on here that you said reminds you of childhood. A couple. There's Cat Stevens and Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah, specifically the Cat Stevens one is reminds me of being little.
All right, let's get into it.
Yeah.
I don't need to touch your face to know I don't need to use my eyes to see. I keep on wondering if I sleep too long. Will I always wake up the same or so? And keep on wondering if I sleep too long. Will I even wake up again? The moon, I had the strength to stop. Oh, I'm not making love to anyone's wishes, only for that light I see. 'Cause when I'm dead and Lord, Lord, in my grave, that's gonna be the only thing that's left of me. And if I make it to the water side, will I even find me a boat or so? If I make it to the water side, I'll be sure to write you a note or something. Yo, I'm on my way, I know I am, somewhere not so far from here. All I know is all I feel right now. I feel the power going in my hair. Oh, life is like a maze of doors, and they all open from the side you're on. Pushing hard, boy, try as you may, you're gonna wind up where you started from. You're gonna wind up where you started from.
Sitting round, trying to ruin broken hearts.
Yeah, Big Bizzle Blue Bland. Sorry, no, I'm not DJing. I'm Jared JB Boyd, hanging here with another man of many names, and I will say infinite talents, as I mentioned earlier.
Thank you. Thank
Absolutely. You. So tell me about that last song we just heard.
Dancing in the Dark. When I was, I remember being maybe like 13 or 14 and really, really disliking everything about the way that song sounded and basically all music from the 80s. I think it was because I started playing drums, listening to Yes and, you know, all the super dead drums from the 70s. And I was like, I can't hear anything. There's too much reverb on everything, and they're putting reverb on the kick drum. And I had a teacher in high school who was like, you don't like Bruce Springsteen? And I was like, no, I can't stand all that terrible sounding, you know, production. And she was like, here, check this record out. She gave me Darkness on the Edge of Town. And I was like, okay, this is okay. And she gave me Nebraska. And Nebraska was the one where it's just him and a guitar. And I said, okay, I like this a lot. I ended up hearing that song again later on after I started liking Bruce Springsteen. And I was like, I think this is one of my favorite songs ever because it's just this, like, it's super angsty. And I think that, like, I didn't actually hear the lyrics until a couple years ago and realized, oh, I think this is one of my favorite songs.
It matches you. Well, sometimes in life, you know, it takes you to meet the thing. The thing's existed before. But this version of you has.
Yeah, you changing, yeah. Yeah. I remember, I was listening, I can't remember the podcast, but it was a guy who played trumpet, and he said something along the lines of, you know, you can play the trumpet for 20 years, and at the end of 20 years, that horn is going to be exactly the same, and it's you that's changed, and that's what we're doing music for.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, it's been fantastic to be with you. Tell people likewise what you got coming up next.
Yeah, the next thing that's coming up is on December 6th here at Crosstown. Me and Ariel both are going to be performing for the light ceremony. One of the many performances, I think ours start around 6:30. We'll be on the second floor, and I'm super excited about it. I'm going to be playing some new stuff, and I've got a little video lined up to play on the projector. It'll be cool.
Spectacular, spectacular. Any new music that you're going to put out?
Yes, I've been recording nonstop. I plan on putting something out hopefully before the residency is over. If not, definitely before Christmas.
For sure. Well, happy holidays to you in the meantime. And don't be a stranger. Come by and hang out with us again. Send us some Absolutely. Music to play on air.
Oh, I will.
Fantastic.
Thanks.
Well, you've been listening to Talk at Memphis. It's Jared J.B. Boyd. This is WRX on 91.7 FM, the station that's raised by sound. Raised by Sound Fest is coming up December 7th. RaisedbySoundFest.com. More information. Tickets to the after party with the Black Keys, Tommy Wright III, and Lil Noid.
Then you would leave me here in tears. Now you're gone, and hours seem like years. So, darling, I sing my song.